good morning and welcome, to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very busy show coming up today. 10:33, she is returning to Matt Nair on Air. Andra Watkins is a New York Times bestselling author, and she also has a Substack called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. She also grew up in a Christian nationalist household, so she has a lot of insight I have not seen anywhere else on the Christian nationalist influence on Project 2025. Her latest Substack is called Why Christian Nationalists Don't Care About Mass Shootings.
Yep.
Which is always applicable, tragically, it seems, in this country.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to Andra Watkins. If you have questions for her, text him in now, 855-752-4842. And then coming up at 11:06, Doug Reboots has a soybean farm near Janesville, and he's going to be joining us to talk about tariffs. J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, of course, talking about how across the board, massive tariffs is going to bring in all this money that's going to cover apparently free childcare for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite sure how that works. And the deficit will be gone and it's all going to be ducky. And so we're going to talk to someone who actually farms soybeans and find out how he feels about tariffs, how the earlier tariffs from other administrations have affected his business. I'm very curious to talk to him. And again, if you have a question, you can always text it in at 855-752-4842. Important contest kicking off today.
Oh, heck yeah.
Go for the green or gold, our statewide text to win contest. You do need to download the Civic Media app, because when we give you the word in the 11 o'clock hour, you want to text in that word via the Civic Media app to whatever station you're listening to across the Civic Media network. The hourly, we play it at 7, 11, 1, and 4 p.m. So every hour, one person picks up either $100 in cash or some nice gold jewelry, and then there will be one grand prize winner who will pick up a pair of indoor, keyword there, indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. So your chance, the first time during our show, 11 o'clock hour, listen for the keyword. You have time now to download the app. If you have not done so already, just go to your favorite app store and look for Civic Media. Download the app, and then you'll be ready coming up at 11 o'clock for the statewide Go for the Green or Gold text to win contest.
Nice.
I did want to do a little recap of something that, some things that happened over the weekend, because things tend to get lost and people have lives and don't necessarily pay the closest of attention to everything. But there was a possible second attempt trying to assassinate the former president. The man was arrested on Sunday and apparently spent the last couple of years trying to put together some kind of ragtag army to help defend Ukraine. Ryan Wesley Routh was taken into police custody Sunday. FBI agents searching his car, looking for clues for possible motives. They say he was allegedly crouched outside the Florida golf course with a rifle while Donald Trump played golf about 400 yards away, and a Secret Service member apparently saw the barrel of the gun pointing through the bushes, at which point they fired at him. He took off, but he was later arrested about 50 miles away. The 58-year-old has had some trouble in the past with law enforcement. He faced criminal charges for two separate incidents in 2002 for possessing a weapon of mass destruction. In December of 2002, armed with a machine gun, Roth barricaded himself in a roofing building in Greensboro, North Carolina for 3 hours. That began after he was pulled over for a traffic stop. So what did he do? Apparently he grabbed his handy dandy machine gun and went and holed himself up in this building. This is what we know right now. Obviously, there will be more details coming out as we learn more about this man. No one was injured. No one should be taking pot shots at any president or former president or any former or current official.
Or anyone.
Or anyone.
Also, to be clear, he did not fire a single shot.
He did not.
Yeah.
He was, thankfully, he was caught beforehand. Yeah. They spied him beforehand, and he is now in custody. They say he left behind rifle backpacks with bullet-resistant ceramic plates and a GoPro video recording device. Again, we'll have to wait and see what other details come out about this, but he has had prior run-ins with the law, and an earlier report I saw, the one that I'm looking at right now is from the Washington Post, said that he did vote for Donald Trump in 2016.
I mean,
this is what we know right now.
This is what we know right now. It's also another fantastic opportunity for someone out there to talk about mental health.
Mental health and access to weapons.
Yep. Yep.
Also, over the weekend, Two Rivers Police Department here in Wisconsin confirmed that human remains found on a privately owned hunting land are those of 3-year-old Elijah Vu, who's been missing for 7 months. He was first reported February 20th. He would have just turned 4 years old last month. Two Rivers Police Chief on Friday said the remains were found on private property about 3 miles from where he was first reported missing. The owner of the property found the remains as he was getting ready for hunting season. It's just a tragedy.
Yeah.
His mother, Katrina Bauer, and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, were charged with felony child neglect in February. Obviously, there may be further charges coming, and anyone who has information is asked to contact Two Rivers Police Department. It's just a tragedy.
Yeah.
Just a tragedy. Hopefully, at least there's an end for those who are grieving.
Closure.
Closure. Some kind of closure.
Yeah.
Tragically. But that was just a little recap of things that happened over the weekend. Others that happened over the weekend, of course, bomb threats now in Springfield, Ohio, closing schools last Thursday and Friday. Bomb threats in Springfield, Ohio, shut down 2 hospitals over the weekend, affecting not just the immigrant community, but everyone in the community of Springfield, Ohio. And Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance.
Ohio Senator.
Ohio Senator J.D. Vance stopped by CNN yesterday to talk to Dana Bash. Calvin, let's play that first clip from Dana Bash talking to J.D. Vance yesterday on CNN.
Affirmatively say now that that is a rumor that has no basis with evidence?
Dana, the evidence is the firsthand account of my constituents who are telling me that this happened. And by the way, I've been trying to talk about the problems in Springfield for months, and the American media ignored it. There was a congressional hearing just last week of angel moms who lost children because Kamala Harris let criminal migrants into this country who then murdered their children. The American media totally ignored this stuff until Donald Trump and I started talking about cat memes. If I have to, create stories so that the American media actually pays attention to the suffering of the American people, then that's what I'm going to do, Dana, because you guys are completely letting Kamala Harris coast. You had one interview with her. You talk about pushing back against me, Dana. You didn't push back against the fact that she cast the deciding vote on the Inflation Reduction Act, which is why a lot of Americans can't afford food and housing.
You just said that you're creating a story.
We ought to be talking about public policy.
Sorry, you just said that you're creating the story.
What's that, Dana?
I can't hear you.
You just said that this is a story that you created. So then the eating dogs and cats thing is not accurate.
Dana, it comes from firsthand accounts from my constituents. I say that we're creating a story, meaning we're creating the American media focusing on it.
Wait.
I didn't create.
No.
Wait a minute, JD.
Had I known you could be so just, you know, earnest, I would have told my parents all the time, Mother, Father, I did not lie. I created a story about my report card getting stolen. That's why I don't have it. I created a narrative for the American people.
He just admitted he created this story based on memes that has now resulted in bomb threats and school closures. But he did this to get people to pay attention, because otherwise the media doesn't pay attention.
Well, he said, I've been talking about this for months. No, you haven't. This hasn't been a for months thing. He wants to bring it back to those young kids who were killed by apparently immigrants or illegal immigrants. But they always want to talk about these three girls. These three girls, they always, that Stephen Miller brought it up in the conversation with that reporter we talked about last week.
Yep. And these are horrible stories.
These are horrible stories. But if three people are all you have, this is not something that creates such a rush of terror that we need to be threatening the lives of citizens, immigrants who are here. Wait, what's that word, Jane? Legally.
Yes.
They're here legally.
Yes. And PBS, we played a portion of this last week.
Yep.
PBS went to Springfield, Ohio, talked to a manufacturing company that has 30 Haitians as employees.
Yep.
He sang their praises. And one of the workers that they spoke to moved to Springfield in 2018. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Donald Trump was president in 2018. Is that accurate?
I thought Barack Obama's been president since Donald Trump took, like, I thought he's just been president the whole time. It's all his fault, right? It's the Democrats. Kamala was the president then,
no,
right?
No. She wasn't, and she wasn't even vice president then.
Oh!
Donald Trump was president in 2018 when these Haitian immigrants began coming to Springfield, Ohio. They are not here illegally. They're under temporary protected status, I believe.
Yeah. And there's something that I brought up to you, I'll say this really quick, and we'll talk about this further down the road, which is, this is the Republicans' dream. People coming to this country legally, working, paying tax, getting themselves rooted in the American culture and the dream. And it's not good enough. It's not good enough for them because it doesn't fit their narrative. They've moved the goalposts again because that's what they do whenever they say, well, do this. They're like, well, they did that. They're here legally. They love it. People in Springfield like them. Well, I guess I heard they're eating cats.
We're going to continue this conversation. We see you on the phone line, Bill. Don't hang up. 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, talking about Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. Yesterday, appearing on CNN, talking to Dana Bash, essentially admitting he made up this story about Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, eating cats and dogs. And he made it up to bring attention to the issues of immigrants. And when we talked about this last week, yes, social services are being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Schools are being pushed. Hospitals are being pushed. This is happening in cities that don't have large immigrant populations, too.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your state government about not funding your cities properly. Ohio, by the way, run by Republicans, Republican governor, the mayor of this town is a Republican, Republican legislature. Talk to your local state officials about getting more funding for your cities.
The governor's son sits on the Ohio Supreme Court. The DeWines are just, you know, a nice little dynasty there. But to DeWine's credit,
yes,
he put out a press release saying we are going to send aid. We're going to send help. He did take a dig at the federal government. It's like, not their problem. It's your problem, my friend. You have to handle this. But also the mayor was like, please, you need to stop with this rhetoric. You need to stop with this narrative, and you need to help us. And these words have consequences.
Absolutely.
And I said this on Pat's show, and I'm sorry if I'm ruining anyone's good time fun, whether you find the Haitian immigration thing, like, you know, deplorable, and like they're there eating cat, whether you're putting memes up about it that are like denigrating them or putting memes up that are making fun of Republicans or those who are, this does not solve the issue. This does not solve the problem at all.
No, it doesn't. I mean, they had to close schools last week because of bomb threats. They had to close hospitals over the weekend because of bomb threats. The Proud Boys showed up in Springfield, Ohio yesterday to march with their little neo-Nazi flags. So, yes, words have power. Words matter. Bill from Oconomowoc on the line. Thank you for your patience, Bill. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning, and great topic, as always. What I wanted to say is the cost of their rhetoric. Their cost, and correct me if I'm wrong, is already in the millions, with schools shutting down, with bomb threats, with the Proud Boys, millions. Their lying rhetoric is costing taxpayers millions. And how would you look at, or I would look at them and say, now you're being held accountable, explain why you're lying, and it's costing taxpayers millions for you to promote a 34-count felon? Explain yourself.
Well, honestly, Bill, I think but the problem is someone like J.D. Vance goes on CNN, and when he is confronted with such questions as, why are you making these things up? You say you are constructing these stories. He does not care.
And doesn't shy away from it either. Yes, I made this up to get you to talk about what I think you should be talking about. They have no shame, Bill.
Yeah.
There is no shame in lying. There's no shame anymore in getting caught in a lie. Doesn't matter.
No, it only emboldens them, actually. People respect them more.
Doubling down on the lies.
Because they're taking on the mainstream media. What a courageous thing to do. You tell lies that puts children's lives in danger, people's lives in danger, for people who are here legally, which you talk about all the time.
Yep.
All the time. Come here through the legal channels. Guess what? They did. And you still are putting them in danger. Congratulations and shame on you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Really appreciate you listening. Always appreciate you calling. Jake from Madison texting in, listening on WXCO. The alternate reality that J.D. Vance and other Republicans try to construct should insult everyone. If I went on Tammy Baldwin's Facebook page to say that Bigfoot was wandering the North Woods and attacking homeowners, do you think Tammy would amplify that story so we could study wildlife? As long as, Jake, you admitted that you made up the story about Bigfoot, I guess it would be fine.
He did. He constructed the story. He's creating the story. Bigfoot has a boutique shop in Door County.
Yeah. Sue from Franklin texting in, and again they tend to bring up these three young women who were killed horribly.
Yes.
By illegal immigrants. That's a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing. But Sue from Franklin says, what about all the people that are killed by their fellow Americans every single day? And we talked about that last week.
Yeah. The
You know what most of the gunmen in our country have in common?
What?
It's not their ethnicity. It's not their religion. It's their gender. That's just the sad truth, my friends. That's the thing they have in common, primarily, is gender.
Don't look at the camera when you do that.
Sorry, I'm making faces and they're directed at Greg.
I mean, the statistics just say that they're mostly dudes. And I mean, it's... Now is not a time to get into a mental health discussion. We have to move on to other things, but what more do they want? And I mean that from what they say is like, I'm not gonna stop driving this in the ground. You want people to come to this country and celebrate it and to embrace it and to be part of our culture. And that's exactly what they did. And the people of Springfield, Ohio took them in. It wasn't a problem until a week and a half ago.
I have seen an earlier timeline when J.D. Vance started dropping some things in about I think hospital services being strained.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, okay, great. That's a great conversation.
We have the same problem in Western Wisconsin.
Yeah, and the governor gave money to the city to help ease the pains of those strains.
And what happened to that money? Our Republican-led legislature is still sitting on it.
I'm talking about Ohio.
Oh, I'm talking about Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, Ohio, the governor gave Springfield money to help with the pains and processes of those the hospital to make sure, okay, we can help them. They're getting the funding they needed. Cool. That's a great conversation. If a population gets bigger and there are problems, let's start solve it from a state level.
Absolutely.
Let's not tell out-and-out lies. And now they're in the middle of, I mean, I don't even know what it's like to be in Springfield right now. And it's never going to go away. It's always going to be their legacy. No one knew about Springfield, Ohio until a week and a half ago.
And I've seen some things now that the Trump-Vance campaign plans to stop there.
Oh, grand.
Yeah, and I don't know how that's going to help the citizens of that community.
$50 says the mayor says, please don't come.
He just might. Yeah. You think that'll stop them?
Never. Please.
Not going to make any difference. News. Never. Is coming up, and don't forget our new Go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest. We will have your word that you need to text in coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. You can pick up $100 in cash or gold jewelry, and the grand prize, one lucky person, a pair of indoor club level seats to see the Green and Gold on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. That word coming your way in the 11 o'clock hour when we return. New York Times bestselling author Andrew Watkins returns. We're going to talk about why Christian nationalists just don't care about mass shootings in this country. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Leon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our next guest back. She is a New York Times bestselling author, Andra Watkins, is here. Good morning, Andra. Thank you so much for joining us again. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? It's great to be back.
So glad to have you back. I thought our conversation last time was so interesting. And for people who weren't able to join us the first time around, tell us about your childhood growing up in a Christian nationalist household.
I grew up in rural South Carolina in the 70s and 80s. So the church and school that I attended from kindergarten through 12th grade was a Christian nationalist church and school. It was affiliated with Jerry Falwell Sr.'s moral majority movement. And so I grew up at ground zero of what we're hearing about now a lot from Republicans. America was founded as a Christian nation, was founded as a white Christian nation, and the Bible should be the basis of our constitutional law. That's when I was taught as a child and teenager and indoctrinated in. So this has been around for a long time, and they've been saying these things for a long time.
And that is a big component. The whole Christian nationalist element is a big component of Project 2025.
Yes. I first picked up Project 2025 last fall and started reading it. And was struck by the first five pages with the Bible verses that were buried in the text that you wouldn't know were Bible verses if you didn't grow up the way I did. And Christian nationalist concepts that I had learned as a child, doing what we ought, not what we want. For example, is language that they use very early. And that is a Christian nationalist concept that comes from the Bible. And they say that regularly amongst themselves, but you wouldn't necessarily know as a reader who didn't come from that world that that's Christian nationalist speak if you didn't have someone translating it for you. So I thought it was really important once I read all of this and marked it up, and I have this stack of Project 2025 that I carry around with me everywhere that's torn up and looks terrible, but I'm marked up and, you know, all of this document so that I could call out especially those things about it.
Well,
so and I've been doing that since January.
And you have a great Substack. It's called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. And we will put a link in to your Substack. I highly encourage people to read it and to subscribe to it. It's very worthwhile reading. And your latest Substack is Why Christian Nationalists Don't Care About Shootings. And I think this is so important, again, tragically, because we have so many of them in this country on a daily basis, essentially. And we actually had a texter, Andra, John from Oshkosh, says, according to Trump and Vance, we just need to get over shootings and accept it as a way of life. I send my thoughts and prayers to those affected and hope it never happens again. So why is it that Christian nationalists don't care or don't seem to care? And we should just learn to live with it because it's just the way it is.
Amongst themselves, they say things like, America is under God's judgment for rejecting the one true God. So to take J.D. Vance's comment, school shootings are just a fact of life. If he were amongst Christian nationalists, he would tack on, because America has rejected the one true God and has devolved into this sinful, horrible culture that we have. And so God is judging us, and shootings are a part of that judgment, because of course people who have rejected the one true God are going to want to shoot people. So if America would reject the path that it's on and accept the one true God, then we would have fewer mass shootings. We wouldn't have to deal with that anymore. Christian nationalists have that view of God. It's a very Old Testament, judgmental, angry, vengeful God who is judging us for everything. And they don't believe that they have to get in the way of that. If they do anything to stop God's judgment, then we might not change our ways. We might not reject all the terrible, horrible things we're doing as Americans and turn to the one true God. So they are very hands-off about doing anything in regards to shootings, particularly because they believe if we just have enough of them and live with it long enough, God will finally get our attention and maybe we will turn back to him as a nation. It's just a horrible mindset, but that's how they talk privately amongst themselves.
So I want to make sure that I have this clear. We cannot do anything to prevent mass shootings, because if we do that, we are interfering with the will of God. God is punishing these people, us. God is punishing us because we have not found the correct way to him. So again, by a lawmaker doing something about increasing background checks or red flag laws, that is essentially interfering with the will of God. Is that right?
That's how they would talk about it amongst themselves. Yes.
Does that?
They have their code words that they use, you know, thoughts and prayers, fact of life. Mm-hmm. Can't do anything about it, that they say publicly. Kevin Roberts, the head of the Heritage Foundation, is on the record as saying, we can't say things publicly the same way that we talk amongst ourselves. We have to change our language for voters.
Yes.
Because how we talk amongst ourselves, voters wouldn't really vote for that if they heard us talking the way we really talk. So this is an example of them doing that, where they change their language to be outward facing.
Forgive the question if this sounds completely dumb, but that you don't stand in the will you don't stand in the will of God. God has a plan. Everything happens. It's God's will. He makes it so. So why aren't they stepping up and saying, well, we should not have surgeries. We should not have anything that's good. Anything that a human can do to fix or, you know, just to take care of, that gets in the way of God's will. Correct or incorrect? Am I hearing that incorrectly or correctly?
Well, they apply that to their worldview.
Yeah.
So surgeries are fine, but IVF is not fine, for example, because if God wants a woman to be pregnant, then God will give her a baby. And if he's not giving her a baby, then there's some reason that he's not. He deems her not ready to be pregnant. He deems her not ready to be a mother. There's some secret sin in her life that she's not confessing. This is all the stuff they say amongst themselves. They also say that when women miscarry. So in that world, nobody would ever talk about that amongst themselves, because that was secretly gossiped about as another piece of, well, God judges, is judging her for some secret sin, some hidden thing that's not right with him. So, you know, they apply that to things that fit their worldview. But of course, if it helps them, if it's a surgery that will save their life, that's not abortion or anything to do with, you know, reproductive bodily autonomy or bodily autonomy in general, vis-a-vis transgender surgeries and transitioning, you know, of course they would be fine with surgeries, but anything that they would apply God's judgment to would not be fine.
Well, again, they get to pick and choose.
Yeah, and
it's a very picky, choosy kind of thing. I'm gonna follow this piece because I like this piece. This other stuff, maybe not so much. Again, it's if everything is God's will, as Greg said, and you get cancer, shouldn't you just have cancer? But no, in this instance,
well,
it's like, well, no.
There are extremists who would say that, you know, but not all of them do. But on the extreme end, there are ones who would say, well, you should just die because that's God's will.
And don't forget, little blue pills for men. That's totally fine. Those were created by God on the eighth day, and they're cool, man. Andrew, the question I have then is, you just mentioned the going towards the old school God of
smiting,
the jealous, the wrathful. Where do they pick up the New Testament ideas of the loving and the, you know, there's more senses of equality in the New Testament, love thy neighbor, things like that, Jesus's word. Where does that come into it, or does it come into it all? It's just love Jesus. He's your savior, but let's go back to those first books. That's where all the good stuff happens.
In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I didn't come to replace the law, which is the Old Testament. So, you know, they take that out of context and say the Bible is all God's word and we should be living by all of it. So we want to have our cake. Yeah, Jesus died for me. Yay, Jesus. But we also want to eat it too by going back to the Old Testament and going, some of this Old Testament smitey God stuff is really awesome. And we can control people with it. So we're going to pick and choose what we want to amplify to regulate people's behavior and try to control them. So that's really what Christian nationalists have done. They pick and choose what they want to use from Smitey God, the Old Testament God.
Smitey God!
And still claim, you know, that Jesus died for them.
Right.
So it's, you know.
If you're just joining us, she is a New York Times bestselling author. Andrew Watkins is our guest, and she has a great Substack called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. I highly encourage you to read it and subscribe to her Substack. It's very, very informative. Going back to the picking and choosing, because I can remember Pat Robertson on the 700 Club, Andra, when there would be some natural disaster or there was the shooting at the gay nightclub in Florida. Well, that's God, you know, God did that because God hates gays. And so that, you know, that's that.
And you allowed it to happen. And,
yeah. But when it's a natural disaster, a hurricane that hits a southern state where there's lots of churchgoers, you never hear them say, well, you must have done something bad, Southern Alabama, because you just got creamed. So repent.
But in general, they view climate change as God's judgment. All of these natural disasters collectively are God's judgment. And unfortunately, sometimes they have to suffer too, because the rest of us are such horrible sinners.
Oh.
So, you know, that is how they thread that needle with natural disasters. More natural disasters are, again, God judging America for its rejection
of
him.
And us sinners are the reason why good people are suffering.
Yes.
Okay.
It's our fault when they suffer.
And something I had said to Jane before, and I thought this was more maybe the case, because you know, the notion of why do we even why would a Christian nationalist bother with climate change or helping when they don't see the earth as a viable place anyways? It's about the ascension into heaven as Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I thought maybe the same thing took to honestly gun violence. It's like gun violence will happen, but if you're saved, you're going to heaven. So it doesn't really matter in the first place. I never saw it from the point of view of, well, if you're not getting right by God, of course it's going to happen because he's Smitey God.
Yeah.
That's a new one, by the way, yeah. Andra. I mean, Smitey God.
We might make t-shirts out of that. But I do think that, I mean, the whole picking and choosing goes back to man shall not lie with man in Leviticus. But yet they skip all the other rules in Leviticus about no shellfish and no tattoos and no women cutting their hair and no wearing mixed clothing of mixed fibers. And there's a whole bunch of rules in Leviticus that are like, yeah, meh, we like pigs. Well, I love bacon. We'll let that one slide.
And also the original text says men shall not lay down with boy. It's about pedophilia, not about homosexuality.
Andra Watkins is our guest. We're going to continue our conversation, how Project 2025 will ruin your life. Why don't Christian nationalists care about gun violence in this country? Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have her back on the show. New York Times bestselling author Andra Watkins is here. She also has a great Substack called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. We are going to put a link to that in our show notes so you can check it out and hopefully subscribe. And your latest one, Andra, is Why Christian Nationalists Don't Care About Shootings. And essentially, it's the non-believers are punishing everyone because we don't believe what they believe, and therefore we're all subject to this unrelenting gun violence. Brian, listening in the OC, says, isn't presuming the will of God the most arrogant thing one can do? But it seems to me, Andra, that arrogance is a big part of this. Arrogance is saying, I know better than anybody because I'm me.
Well, they believe that the way they interpret the Bible is the only way. So they don't just believe non-believers are causing gun violence, Jane. They believe Christians who don't agree with them are too.
Oh.
They believe that their way of interpreting the Bible is the one true way, that it is the one truth. So any Christian sect that disagrees with them, any other faith sect that disagrees with them, and of course, people of no faith that disagree with them are all causing this gun violence. So
that's really important to note.
And that was something you talked about last time you were here, Andrew, was the fact that there are essentially three factions of Christian nationalism in government right now, that if all this goes down, Project 2025 becomes a thing, they're going to have to come to the agreement or battle each other to say, is it the Protestant Christian nationalists? Is it the Catholic Christian nationalists? You know, that's, and I can't remember what the third one was you mentioned, but yeah, it's like there's also just inner tension between those groups as well.
Right. And they also have this dominionist component on both in both Catholicism and Protestantism, where they believe that they have to take over the seven mountains of leadership and occupy the top of all those mountains, if you've heard of the Seven Mountain Mandate. So they hide themselves until they get to the top of their mountain. Samuel Alito is a really good example of a Dominionist Catholic, if you want an example. Mike Johnson is a really good example of a Protestant Dominionist, if you want to think about people when we talk about those things. And then others are just really radicalized Catholics, but they don't get into the Dominionist part. Others are really radicalized Protestants, but they don't get into the Dominionist part. So those are the three that we have. And they would have to fight about whose interpretation of the Bible is going to be our national religion, because they don't agree.
Well, and there are different versions of the Bible. Do they even share the same Bible version? I know King James is one, but not every denomination uses the King James Bible, right?
No, and the Catholic Church has a different version of the Bible as well, with books in it that my King James Bible growing up didn't have in it. So, you know, they even use a different Bible than I grew up with.
Well, and this goes back to what we talked about the last time you were here, and Greg mentioned this, the purity test. That they can change the goalposts on the purity test at any point that they like.
Mm-hmm.
And you had talked about pornography, and they're all big on banning pornography. But as you pointed out last time, pornography can apply to almost anything, right?
Yes, it would be what offends Mike Johnson and causes him to think about sex. All of that would be pornography, according to Christian nationalists. So, and he's on the record as calling homosexuality pornography. So all of their attacks on the LGBTQ community and on the transgender community are derived from this worldview of that is a pornographic lifestyle. And reading about that, having to see that, knowing that that's happening is all pornography. That all needs to be shoved back into the closet and criminalized. So that's how they feel about that. But it's also, I've talked at length about how much I love to read smutty romance novels. I love them. I read, you know, I don't even know how many a month. That would all be pornography to them. You know, these books with explicit sex scenes in them, or even I spent 2 or 3 weeks ago writing about a Christian nationalist influencer in Texas who called Colleen Hoover's books basically porn. And if you don't know who she is, the movie It Ends With Us is drawn from her novel. So I read It Ends With Us to go, what is pornographic about it? And essentially, you know, people are making out really heavy before they get married. And so that's pornography.
But this could apply to swimsuit commercials. This could apply to music, any form of music.
It could apply to women wearing swimsuits anywhere in public. You know, on one of the stories that I wrote, I put pictures of women in swimsuits because Mike Johnson and his son's anti-porn app flags all of those pictures as pornography.
I'm really concerned about how easily influenced these people are. Wow, if all that stuff instantaneously makes you think about sex, you might have other issues going on, my friend.
Oh, Lord, there's an ankle. Well, oh, my gosh.
I know.
But, and you know, when you grow up in that world as a woman, you're taught, and I was indoctrinated to believe that if a man acted out, it was always my fault.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So it's always the woman's responsibility to control herself because men can't control themselves.
But let's put them in charge.
I mean,
yes, let's put them in charge. They can't control themselves, but let's give them everything.
While I'm not a woman, Andra, I can tell you this. It's not just in the religion you grew up in where they tell women that as well. A lot of women are told that, right, irrespective of those religious upbringings.
It's so right. Wonderful having you here. I hope we can have you back. We have news coming up in just a little bit. She is a best-selling New York Times author and author of the Substack, How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. Andra Watkins, we want to have you back on. We'll get in touch with you after the show. Thank you so very, very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
News is next. When we come back, we're talking tariffs. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.